Chrysler sold.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. After 9 years, Daimler is getting rid of Chrysler. Well, most of it anyway. This morning in Germany, Daimler said it's selling 80% of the American carmaker to who else? Private equity. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard has more.
Daimler Chrysler has agreed to sell a majority stake in Chrysler to the New York-based private equity firm Cerberus. The price has not yet been made public, but it's certain to be much less than the $36 billion that Daimler paid for the company in 1998. The deal that united the mass-market American brands Jeep, Dodge and Chrysler with Mercedes-Benz has been a headache for the German company. Chrysler's been losing money and market share. Auto industry expert Dr. Peter Wells says he's surprised that a private equity firm's interested in the company.
I think perhaps they have not appreciated that, that in the car industry, these sorts of businesses are very, very cumbersome. They're very difficult to move, and it's going to take an awful lot to turn Chrysler around, I suspect.
He says Cerberus, which is named after the dog which guarded the gates of hell in Greek mythology, may have bitten off more than it can chew. But Chrysler says, as a private company, it'll be better placed for long-term recovery. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Today's big news sent Daimler Chrysler shares up 6% in European trading. Overall, the European markets are up in the early going. A rally in Asia as well today. Japan's Nikkei added 0.7%. On Wall Street, the Dow begins at 13,326. Last week was another gainer for the blue chips, but the Nasdaq lost ground. It starts out at 2562. The S&P 500 is at 1505. In New York today, 30 mayors from around the world are getting together. They'll be talking about global warming, specifically what their cities can do to reduce carbon output. Sarah Gardner has more from our sustainability desk.
Cities consume three-quarters of the world's energy, and from London to Tokyo, they're taking a lead role in fighting global warming. But a study of U.S. cities pledging Kyoto-type CO2 reductions predicts many will miss those goals by a wide margin. Austin, Texas Mayor Will Wynn recently pushed through an aggressive plan. He says greening Austin's police cars, garbage trucks, and construction equipment will be a challenge.
Sadly, we're very much a car-dependent city and economy down here, and it's going to be pretty hard on the automobile side for us to have an impact as soon as I would like.
Wynn is confident, however, that Austin's city-owned utility can generate more green power. He's also pushing energy-efficient building codes, just like Mayor Bloomberg in New York. Bloomberg may face the most heat of any mayor at today's summit. He recently proposed an $8 commuter tax in Manhattan. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Never bet against a house. That's the old saying in Vegas. But dealers at the Wynn Las Vegas Resort did just that over the weekend. They voted to form a union against the wishes of casino owner Steve Wynn. It's the first time dealers in Vegas have joined a labor group. They'll be members of the Transportation Workers Union. The dealers were miffed they had to share tips with their pit bosses. Wynn says he now regrets that decision.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating women and women's health. Information and resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. And by The Economist magazine, which tells not only what's happening around the world each week, but why. The Economist. At newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Last week, the Federal Reserve left short-term interest rates untouched once again. The rate's been at 5.25% for almost a year now. A lot of people on Wall Street are hoping the Fed will cut rates sometime this year, but Newsweek's Alan Sloan is skeptical.
Well, interest rates to me are much lower than they should be. Which is okay with me because I'm not complaining. But short-term rates are, I think, extremely low. Long-term rates are even lower than short-term rates. And what that does is it makes it much easier for these buyout guys to do buyouts, which has been a big factor in the market.
Well, why have interest rates stayed so low?
I think the long-term interest rates have stayed so low because there's a ton of foreign money that is coming into the United States looking for investments and in some cases looking for havens outside of its home country. And you've got on the domestic front, the short-term rate, you've got the Fed, which is sitting around. For the life of me, I don't understand this, talking about possibly cutting interest rates at the same time that short-term rates in Europe, which when last heard has a currency called the euro. You heard of that?
Yeah.
Short-term rates are about to go up in Europe, and you sort of wonder whether or not we'll have to raise short-term rates here just to protect the currency. It could be I'm on a different planet, but I expect interest rates to rise. I mean, maybe not to the moon, but I expect interest rates to go up. But then again, I'm only an English major who writes a business column.
Well, I guess the thing that's been keeping a lid on it is the fact that inflation really hasn't shown signs of flaring up.
Well, that's, again, if you believe that interest rates are determined by inflation, which, again, rational people believe. It depends how you measure inflation, right? When the Fed now measures inflation, it doesn't count food and fuel, okay? Because that's not part of the core inflation rate. So by their measure of inflation, inflation is, I guess, relatively tame. By the measure of inflation that most human beings live with, I'm not so sure it's tame. But as I said, no one has invited me to sit as a governor on the Federal Reserve Board, and being polite and having to wear a suit all day might really cramp my style. So it's just as well I haven't been invited.
Right. All right, Alan, thanks a lot.
Take care, Scott.
Alan Sloan, the Wall Street editor at Newsweek. Finally this morning, a sign of the times for the TV networks. NBC says it'll run original episodes of the series Law and Order: Criminal Intent on the USA cable network. The reruns will air on NBC. Both channels are owned by GE. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.